The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by some special friends of this ministry. Pastor Greg?
I wanted to say a special word of thanks to the Harvest Partners who make this ministry possible.
Next time you're online, check out Pastor Greg's personal blog at blog.greglaurie.com.
Nobody likes to waste money. Not many people choose to walk away from money that's theirs. Have you? Pastor Greg Laurie says maybe you have.
There are $5.8 billion in gift cards that go unclaimed every year. Think of all those gift cards unclaimed. All that money not utilized. So here's the Bible filled with gift cards, if you will. Gift cards! Because the Bible is filled with promises and all you have to do is claim them.
This is the day when the lost are found.
When a cashier gives you change back, do you take some of it and put it in your pocket? No, you take it all. When you file your taxes, do you tell the IRS to keep the tax refund for themselves? Probably not. If something belongs to us, we'll take it. Thank you very much. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out the blessings and promises God has made available to us. Many of us have never taken advantage of them. Maybe we don't even know what they are. Let's learn today.
Nehemiah was the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes, who was the leader of the Medo-Persians. This had to be a man that the king could trust. Actually, it had to be a man that the king liked, because he spent a lot of time with him, because whenever food was served to the king, Nehemiah ate it first. And basically, if Nehemiah died, the king would not eat that food, and he would need a cupbearer, a new one rather. And he would drink of the cup before the king would drink of it. But in time, he became the confidant of the king. He became the counselor to the king. In many ways, he was the second most powerful man in all of the nation at this point. So a very successful job and a super cushy one at that, and you wouldn't want to jeopardize it. But despite this luxurious life, Nehemiah was concerned about others. That's where his heart was. In a perfect world, he didn't want to be in the palace. He wanted to be in the temple. In other words, he had the finest this world has to offer, but he wanted to be with God and with God's people, and he cared about them. So he asks about them. So we're in Nehemiah chapter 1, starting in verse 1. And by the way, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. In late autumn, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, "Things are not going well, for those who return to the province of Judah are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire." Drop down to verse 7. When I heard this, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days I mourned and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down now and see me praying day and night for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We've sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations you gave us through your servant Moses." We'll stop there. Now, here are some principles on how to pray from Nehemiah. Principle number one, if you're taking notes, because God answered this prayer. If you want your prayers answered, pray Nehemiah's way. Principle number one, he acknowledged the greatness of God. He acknowledged the greatness of God. Look at verse 5 again. "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and keep his commands." Oh, great and awesome God. I love that. You know, the word awesome is still very popular, isn't it? That's just awesome. That was an awesome burger, wasn't it? Oh, that was an awesome movie. Oh, you look awesome today. We throw the word around a lot. You want to get real technical? Only God is completely awesome. And that's what he says. You're awesome, Lord. What does awesome mean? It means you're awe-inspiring. I'm speechless, Lord. And consider this. When you see God in his greatness, you will see your problems in their relative smallness. I'm not diminishing your problems, because you might be here today with a big problem, a big challenge, something that's kind of scary even. But your God's bigger. Your God's way bigger than your problem. So that's something that you should always remind yourself of. So when you approach God, oh Lord, you're the almighty God. You're the great God. You're the creator God. You're the sovereign God. Why do I say that? I'm just getting things in perspective before I even start. And is this not what Jesus taught us in what we call the Lord's Prayer? The disciples came to him and they didn't say, Lord, teach us a killer prayer. The prayer to pray in case of emergency. Give us the big one, Lord. No, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not teach us a prayer, teach us to pray. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore you should pray, or another way of putting it, follow this template or pattern of prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, the model for all prayer, does not start with my needs. I don't say, our Father who art in heaven, give me this day my daily bread. No, I say, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed, set apart, be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm contemplating God in his greatness. Number two, Nehemiah reminded God of his promises. He says in verse 5, the God who keeps his covenant. Did Nehemiah need to jog God's memory? Does God forget stuff? No, he doesn't. He said, wait, Greg, the Bible says, God speaking, your sins and iniquities, well, I remember no more, so he forgets our sins. Yeah, but there's a difference between literally forgetting things and choosing to not remember things. You know, so when God says he forgives our sins and forgets them, it doesn't mean he has, you know, a lapse of memory. It means I choose to not hold that against you any longer. But he still remembers technical detail. He remembers everything. I forget stuff all the time. I lose my keys. I lose my wallet. I lost my phone the other day. I looked for it like all day. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? We lose things. We forget things. God never loses anything. He never forgets anything. He's omniscient, which means he's all knowing. So why would you remind God of something when you pray? Well, in a way, you're reminding yourself as much as you're reminding God. God, you promised to provide us for all of our needs. So we're praying in light of that. Sort of like when a teacher gives an exam and they find that the students have learned the material. That's very pleasing to the teacher. You know, sometimes people will come up to me after I spoke and say, great sermon, Pastor. I go, well, thank you very much. What in the message spoke to your heart? Well, great sermon, Pastor. And they just walked in, you know, you weren't listening. And I appreciate the gesture, but if you say, you know, it's when you made this one point, it really spoke to me. See, that brings me joy because, okay, something got through, right? Half the time, you know, I'll work on a message for a long time and I'll have the analogy about a dog and the guy, I love the dog story. Really? Is that all? This is the dog stories? That all you remember? Well, it's something, I guess. But I don't have a dog story in this sermon. But the point is that when someone hears what you say, that's wonderful. And so when we say, Lord, I've been reading your promises and I remember your promises and I'm reminding you of your promises, that's a good thing. See, that reminds us that we don't just read through the Bible, we pray through the Bible. Because the Bible is filled with promises. Someone estimated there are 3,000 promises to believers found on the pages of Scripture. 3,000. I don't know if that number is accurate. If you want to go check this week and get a new number to me, I might use your number for a while. But then I read the other day that there are $5.8 billion in gift cards that go unclaimed every year. And you know about that. Do you have gift cards you've not claimed? How many of you have unclaimed gift cards? I have a few laying around. Think of all those gift cards unclaimed. All that money not utilized. So here's the Bible filled with gift cards, if you will. Gift cards. It's already paid for. You just need to cash them in. And there's so many promises God has given. You say, well, what are they? Well, let me just give you four quick ones. Number one, God says you'll never be alone in life. You'll never be alone in life. Isaiah 41:10, the Lord says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm the Lord your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Number two, God will get you through whatever you're facing. Isaiah 43:2, God says, when you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you'll not be burned up, and the flames will not consume you.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
It's reassuring when we read letters and emails from listeners who have been helped by the ministry of Greg Laurie and A New Beginning.
Pastor Greg, I listen to you every morning on my way home from dropping my husband at work, and I've got to say you've helped me through my hardest times. I have a little boy with moderate autism, and I lost my mom to cancer a year ago. My soul has been so heavy every day. But you've helped me realize that God is who I need more than anything, and He will take care of the rest. My husband and son now love listening to you in the car. Thank you for helping millions of people just like me. God bless.
We're so grateful to hear how Pastor Greg's teachings have helped this young mom. If you have a story to tell, I hope you'll contact us today. Email Pastor Greg at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org.
Well, Pastor Greg is highlighting some of the rich promises of God available to believers, promises we often overlook. Today's message is titled, The Rebuilt Life.
Here's another one. God will provide for your needs. Do you have financial needs right now? Here's what God says, Jesus speaking, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And all these things was a reference to an earlier statement He made when He said, don't be like non-believers who obsess about what they're going to wear and what they're going to drink and what they're going to eat. Jesus is saying, put God first, seek Him first, and all these things will be added to you. Malachi 3:10, God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and there'll be enough food in my temple. And if you do, I'll open the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Put it to the test. Have you ever put God to the test in tithing? You say, well, I don't believe in tithing. Well, God does. And everyone should tithe. That's where we start. And you say, well, I don't want to tithe. Well, you don't have to tithe. But I'll tell you what, God promises if we're faithful in our giving to Him, He will provide for us. And He even says, put me to the test on this one. That's very interesting because He doesn't say that anywhere else. And also, God will forgive us of all of our sins. 1 John 1:8 says, if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, that's four promises. There's 2,966 more. So go claim them. And speaking of confession of sin, that's what Nehemiah did next. Look at verse 7. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, me and my own family, we have sinned. We've sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Notice the use of the word we and my own family, and I have sinned. Interesting, as we look at the life of Nehemiah, I don't really read of any notable sin. He had not worshiped false gods like many of his fellow Israelites. But yet he says, I have sinned. I'm responsible. You know, it's easy to point fingers at everyone else and say they are the problem. It's them. The whole world's against me. I don't know why everyone dislikes me. I don't know why everyone's getting angry at me. They're all so wrong. Did it ever occur to you? It's you. It comes as a revelation to some people. Could it be you? Why is everyone upside down with you? Why are so many people hurt by you? Maybe it's you. So why don't you stop pointing the finger? Because have you ever noticed if you point one finger out, three are pointing back at you? So you say, Lord, my marriage is in trouble. This lousy husband, he needs to repent. Or Lord, this ungrateful wife doesn't know how hard I work. Or these miserable children. Lord, it's just they want so many things. Just change them, change them, change everyone. Did you ever stop and say, Lord, change me? Heard a story about a little boy who was sent to his room for misbehaving. He told his mom he thought it over and said a prayer. She said, very good. You should pray that God will help you not to misbehave. He said, oh, I didn't ask God to help me not to misbehave. I asked him to help you put up with me. What about you changing? Stop complaining about your wife and pray that God will help you to be a more godly husband. Stop complaining about your husband and pray that God will help you to be a more godly wife and better parents. And on it goes. Start with you. It's you and then it's we. Listen, folks, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. Heard about two old ladies who had never flown before. They were afraid of jet planes, so they found a prop plane flying to where they wanted to go. And they took their seat and they were a little nervous. And suddenly they heard a loud noise. One of the ladies looked out the window on the other side of the plane and saw the engine had stopped. She turned to her friend and said, what do we do? And her friend said, I wouldn't worry about that. That's their side of the plane. Well, it'll affect you too. So it's very easy to say, well, if so-and-so would do this, everything would be better. Okay, so-and-so maybe needs to do that, but you can't control so-and-so, so let's just start with you. We say the nation needs a spiritual awakening. True. We say the church needs a revival. Again, true. But listen, revival starts with you. Revival is personal. You say, what do you mean by revival? I mean restoring to original condition. So I am that man or that woman that God wants me to be. Yes, it's good to pray for someone else to change, but pray that God would change you. Prayer does change things, but it's also true that prayer changes you. And sometimes prayer changes you and you change things. So sometimes you'll pray and the Lord will say, actually, I want you to do this job. And Nehemiah prayed and God said, good job, buddy, because you are going to be the one I'm going to bring the change through. You're going to be the man who will make a difference. And so he called out to the Lord and we need to do the same. I wonder what state your life is in right now. You know, we talk about these walls of Israel. Walls mattered back in those days. They were defensive, of course. They kept enemies out. And especially the gate of the city was where commerce was done. It was also where the elders would meet and they would make important decisions. They were a place of authority. So they meant a lot. And in our life, we have walls sort of built around us. And sometimes those walls start breaking down. You know, we compromise a little here. We compromise a little there. And then the weeds start growing in and the problems start developing. Maybe we need to go about rebuilding our own walls personally. Maybe it needs to start with a prayer where we just see ourselves as we really are. Listen, if you're not a Christian, let me tell you your true state before God. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. Because there's nothing you can do to earn your way into heaven. But the good news is God loved you so much, he sent his son Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago on a rescue mission to die on the cross for your sin and to pay the price for all the wrongs you've done, then to rise again 3 days later. You need Jesus. And even after you've known the Lord for months and years and then decades, you still need Jesus. You need Jesus every day and every night and every month and every year, from your first year to your last. And sometimes we start well and we just get off track. And we need to recommit ourselves to Christ and we need to rebuild broken down walls. And that might be some of you now. So we're going to close in prayer and I'm going to extend an invitation for some of you to believe in Jesus for the first time. And also an invitation for some of you to recommit your life to him because, well, the walls in your marriage, the walls in your life, the walls in your testimony, they're broken down. And in some cases, they're in rubble. But God can help you to rebuild those walls again. But it starts with seeing God in his greatness, confessing my sin, and calling out to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us today. And I pray for anyone here, anyone watching, wherever they might be, who does not know you yet. Lord, help them to see that what they really long for in life is you. They long for Jesus. I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict and convince them of their need for you and help them to come to you and believe. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer. And if you want to make a change today in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg will help you do that before today's edition of A New Beginning wraps up. So please stay with us. If you missed any part of today's study called The Rebuilt Life, you can get an instant replay by going to harvest.org. There you can stream the program while you're online or download an MP3 to hear later, or even order a permanent copy on CD. Again, go to harvest.org or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Well, Pastor Greg, we have some special guests on the program today. Why don't you introduce them?
Yes, they do, Dave. With us are Catherine and Jay Wolf. And they have a brand new book out that is called Suffer Strong, subtitled How to Survive Anything by Redefining Everything. Jay writes, our stories are glorious. They're also painful, unfair, scary, and almost always quite different from what we thought that they would be. Yet it seems that these parts might be the very means through which the glory is most revealed. More than a decade ago, on an ordinary day, life as we knew it changed. Jay, maybe you could tell us how life changed for you.
Sure. We were 26 at the time, living in Malibu. I was going to Pepperdine Law School. We had a six-month-old baby, and just every dream right in front of us, right within our grasp, it seemed, of me graduating law school, and Catherine was in the entertainment industry, and we had this new baby. And out of the blue, I came home for lunch, kind of just so happened to come home from a little 45-minute window. And during that time, Catherine collapsed. She was totally healthy, no symptoms, no family history, and was rushed to the hospital. And they found out she was having a massive brainstem stroke. And we would soon learn that it was most likely she would not survive the day because of this incredible bleed happening in her brain. And again, there was no warning, no symptoms, no family history. It was caused by a very rare congenital defect called an AVM that she had had her whole life, but had no warning of until that day when it ruptured. And unfortunately, it was the largest they had seen, four aneurysms on top of it around her brainstem. You know, it was just every worst case scenario. And the doctor on call, I believe I was a lawyer, a law student at the time, and that wasn't great for helping the case for him to even try to operate, you know, that I was a lawyer. And yet I think the Holy Spirit just impressed on his heart that he needed to give this mom a second chance to live. And he did. And 16 hours later, she came out of surgery and they had removed part of her brain. They had done a lot of damage around her brainstem and her intracranial nerves. And yet they said, Catherine lived. And to this day, that was in 2008. And so we're going to be celebrating 12 years of a second chance at life. And, you know, little did we know, it would change our stories forever.
Yeah.
For not just Catherine, but our whole family.
Which is honestly what that book is about. Suffer Strong is about redefining how we see everything. And it is game-changing, of course, because we know it isn't about what happens to us that really matters. It's about how we think about it, how we remember it, how we wake up to what God is doing in the story he's writing in our lives.
Well, it's a powerful story. And the way the Wolves have coped and adjusted, and more than that, grown and developed through this hardship, is truly inspiring. What better encouragement for the times we're facing right now? Again, it's the book Suffer Strong by Catherine and Jay Wolf. And we'd like to send it to you to thank you for your investment in this daily outreach, bringing hope to those who desperately need it. In fact, we recently saw this social media post. It said, Dear Pastor Greg, I love listening to you preach and love taking notes on them, too. I'm disabled by severe pain, but I'm praying to be able to be in church someday soon in Orange County.
I've been faithfully attending the noon service from my living room on Roku for 5 years. Isn't that great? And your investment helps us bring hope to so many just like that who need it. So thank you for your donation today. You can write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Pastor Greg, we've been talking about the importance of having a personal relationship with Christ today. And
yeah.
No doubt there's somebody listening right now who'd like to have that kind of relationship and just needs to take the next step. Can you help them?
Yes, I would be delighted to. And you that want to make this commitment or recommitment to Christ, I want you to pray right now. And if you mean this prayer from your heart, God will hear you. The Bible says, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. And that's a step you'll be taking now. Pray this after me. God, I know that I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sin, but I thank you for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, to die on the cross in my place. Now I turn from my sin and I choose to follow you this day forward as your disciple. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, God has heard you and He has forgiven you. And we have some materials that we would like to send to you at no charge that will encourage you in this commitment you've made to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right. We call this resource collection our New Believers Growth Packet. It'll help you get started in walking each day with the Lord. So get in touch and ask for your free New Believers Growth Packet. You can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click Know God. Next time, as we continue our study in the book of Nehemiah, Pastor Greg brings insight on the vital role of prayer in the life of the productive believer. Tune in next time for A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.